You're listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are communicating non-verbally and simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, using the studio as my own personal clothesline
from the
People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally, with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living, and today... What are we talking about?
Some old bullshit. Wait, is there any news about old bullshit?
I don't have any. No. Well, yes.
It's gonna be
I do have some old bullshit on here.
I was going to say it's going to be a positive episode.
I'm bringing us down with the headlines again.
Well, you know, the news is good for that. It's easy to get discouraged when you see how many things happen out there that you would like to happen differently.
I'm trying my best to have at least one positive headline for all of the negative headlines that I tend to gravitate towards sharing.
There we go. Well, we're trending upwards. This is good.
So there. Yeah.
This is good. Yeah. We are in the room with Aaron Kelly. Hello.
Hi, guys.
And Aaron, we met you on the President's Day Team Sincerity ride.
That's one time that we met. Yeah.
Also, I met you before that, but I had forgotten, as I did now, that I met you then.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it happens.
Yeah, but thank you for coming and joining us.
Yeah.
And I believe you had said, hey, could I just sit in and watch you guys do an episode?
It's true. That is what I said.
Yeah, and we had talked about having another guy in here. That guy, Nathan Jones, is out of the state.
What,
for a good
what's
reason.
What's he doing that for?
He's traveling to, I think he went to the world premiere of the Inspired to Ride bicycle documentary.
I suppose being in that and everything, he probably should do that.
Yeah, for sure. And he got to go through a lot of the places that he biked through, I think, as he was traveling down there. I think I want to say he drove, but that's because he didn't have enough time to get all the way down there by bike. We know he would have done it because he is Nathan goddamn Jones.
Damn right.
Yeah. So anyways, the Portland premiere this Saturday, Inspired to Ride at the McMenamin's Mission Theater in beautiful downtown Portland over the chasm of the 405 Bridge. Or the 405 Canyon. It's right over there.
That's a pretty badass venue for that show.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Man.
Yeah. And there will be beer. So anyways, I don't know if it's sold out yet or not. I would say go buy your tickets now so you don't have to worry about it later. But that's just me. So that was happening. Anyways, he was. We talked about having him in here, but he, again, out of state. Aaron said, hey, could I come in and watch you guys do what you do? And so here you are watching us do what we do, and you're also on microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how we change things.
Yeah, it's
good. Shell game here.
Yeah, you kind of roll with it.
So anyways, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We've got some beer from the Beermongers. And what's crazy enough, not just that I have beer and Aaron, you have beer, but Aaron.
I have some beer.
I'm sorry. I totally stole it. Let's do that again.
Okay.
I want to do this with full names because I realize I'm pointing to Aaron and then pointing to Aaron. But the people
we just
out there.
Talking about the whole nonverbal communication.
I know.
Thing
that's
over,
why.
Over podcasts.
I've got to explicate. So, you, Aaron Kelly, and me, and you, Aaron Flores, we all have beer tonight.
We all have beer.
Yours.
It's non-alcoholic beer.
But it is this beer.
This is Erdinger Weissbrau from Erdinger.
Nice.
Yeah, I've never had non-alcoholic beer before. I've had beer before.
Oh,
beer before.
Okay, I thought you had.
No.
Okay.
No.
So this is it.
This is it.
It's all happening right now. What's your pronouncement after your grimace?
I don't like this.
Would you say it's some old bullshit?
I mean, I'm not angry at it.
Well done, sir. I applaud your bravery.
Yeah.
The problem with this situation is that you're stuck with Erdinger now for the rest of the night.
True.
Brought to you by the Beermongers, our new sponsor.
For people who like beer and for people who don't like beer.
And, you know, I don't like it.
But
they were kind enough to comp this to us. And, you know, I think I told you when I picked it out, I've not tried non-alcoholic beer before because I don't like beer.
Right, right.
And, you know, this is way little financial risk to me here.
So, it's true, yeah.
Hopefully, like, the beer mongers, you still do good work. Like, don't take our sponsorship away because I don't like your beer.
Well,
or your non-alcoholic beer.
Maybe this is a good time to point out that the beer monger specializes...
They're a bottle shop.
They specialize in beer, which means you don't have to drink non-alcoholic beer because, as Aaron Flores said, it's terrible. You can drink real live beer. So, are you done with that for the whole night?
I'm really curious, though. How does it taste? I mean, what's going on?
I can't describe it, honestly.
Well, I mean, wouldn't this be fair to say that this is the face that a child makes when they're like 5 years old and they're like, "Mommy, what's the beer taste like?" And they're like, "Here, try it out." And they're like, "That's terrible. I'm never going to drink." So yeah,
right.
I think, at least that's what happened to me when I was a kid. My mom was using it for fish batter. We were like strongly religious growing up. And so we never had beer around the house.
Except for fish batter. That's very intriguing.
And so I was like, I think my mom was like, "Here's a teachable moment." And she's like, "You want to try some beer?" I was like, "Yeah." And then I drank it and I was like, "That's terrible." And she was like, "That's why we never drink it." So, yeah. I've come around.
Now what about cigarettes, Mom?
We never had that conversation as far as I remember. But anyways, the beer mongers, thanks to Sean and his crew over there. And I forget the name of the event.
CBC is going on.
CBC.
I don't know what CBC stands for.
Oh, the Craft Brew Convention.
There you go.
I know this because I was sailing down MLK, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Ah.
And the convention center is over there. And they had a big banner that said Craft Brew or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, beer makers are here in town. Lots of them.
And I don't know if it's worth saying, but we were going to get a growler, and because of the CBC, they have all these specialty brews on tap.
Oh, yeah. So this is a good time to go over.
To go try.
Yeah. If you hear this in the next week, say you hear this before you see the movie Inspired to Riot on Saturday, you should go and get some special beer from the beer mongers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Take a drink, Krista. This is a good time. So, yeah, we're honestly super stoked to be working with Sean and his crew.
We're 15 minutes in, and she's already had to have, like, at least 3 drinks.
I would imagine so, yeah. So, can I tell you about what I did this weekend? Because it was pretty awesome.
I'm nodding my head because I was drinking water.
Oh, well, it's okay. Thank you for telling me that you were nodding. Because otherwise, I would not have known.
I was describing it for our listeners.
I was really glad to know, too, actually, just to make sure we're consistent with our nonverbal cues and not using our nonverbal cues or verbalizing our nonverbal cues. Yeah.
It's worth doing both.
Yeah, thank you for nodding your head. I'm glad to see that.
Talk about the things that you can't hear and don't talk about the things that you can.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay.
Your weekend.
My weekend. So Adele put together a camping trip, and we've taken people out bike camping before, just getting like basically newbies, getting them out into the woods and saying, "Hey, if you like camping, you like the idea of camping, let's show you the reality of camping."
You guys are really good at that.
Oh, thanks. It's been a while since we've done it is the thing. Like, we used to do this. I mean, I think you were on probably some of our earlier ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hearing about some of the times of you taking, I don't know, people out, if not just specifically noobs, but and that's a technical term, right?
Yes, yes. This is not meant to be pejorative.
Right.
We're saying they're new at this.
Yes. Hearing about that is like one of the major reasons why I ended up getting a bike. It's like, I want to be part of these adventures.
Yeah. So we're hoping to continue doing that. And I think it had been a while. So Adele, after this weekend, when we got home, she immediately started planning the next one. She's like, "All right, we're going to take people here. We're going to do it this way. And we're going to get there using these roads." And, you know, so it was a good experience. But there were a couple of key components that made this different than other trips. I think because I've gotten so used to going bike camping and going on bike tours, I'm used to kind of having like a kit or a package or something put together. So I'm like I leave my toothbrush and toothpaste in my bags or something like that, you know? So I just need to add the camping stuff and then I'm all set.
Right.
I have gotten out of the practice of that. So I had cleaned out my panniers, some time back, cleaned them out kind of for commuting weight, you know, just like, I'll just carry the things I use every day. And so when the time came to go bicycle camping, all these people start showing up at the house and I'm like loading the bob trailer onto the back of my bike and loading other people's gear onto my bike. And, I basically forgot to put most of my stuff into my bags.
Oh.
I got like a change of clothes, which I never used. You know, like all the stuff that you think of first.
Right.
I did not bring my toothbrush or toothpaste, and I got a new back rack since the last time I went bike camping.
Oh, right.
Which meant that the tubing is slightly different sized, and the Ortlieb panniers that I have, they got those little inserts that like make them fit perfectly around a certain size tube.
Yeah.
So I needed a different one of those, but I couldn't find the inserts.
Oh, so did you just go without inserts then?
See, that would have been the smart choice. I just said, I'm not carrying that much. I'll just leave my back panniers behind.
Wow.
Well, that's not too bad of an idea.
Except that my sleeping bag was inside of my
back
pannier.
One of your back panniers.
Yeah. And I've got like the silk sleeping sheet that I love that makes it super comfy, and I left that behind too.
Oh.
So I get up there, you know, like we got a crew together and we rode up to the Bipartisan Cafe to meet the second half. And we got all these people together and we start rolling towards Washington. And I think sometime before we got to the bridge between Oregon and Washington, the Glen Jackson Bridge, which is the 205. And Aaron, you remember we did that on the President's Day ride.
I do remember.
Yeah. It's a huge bridge. Not a lot of fun. Even less fun when it's torrentially raining.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had super crazy wind that day on President's Day.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
it was bad.
Yeah. So today, yesterday. 2 days ago now, we had wind and rain, so pretty brutal. But before I got there,
So the lesson is, don't cross the Glen Jackson Bridge, or else the weather's going to be bad.
I think so, yeah. pretty much.
Just go all the way out to the Bridge of the Gods and that, then cross there.
That's the next logical step.
Yeah.
Add 50 miles or 100 miles to your route.
It's much more beautiful.
You've got the time.
Yeah, that's
Why
true.
Not?
Yeah.
So I realized before we crossed the bridge that I had not packed my sleeping bag. And I thought to myself, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, I've got a lot of warm clothes. Maybe I'll just bundle up and sleep on my mat. Because I'd brought the pad, like the sleeping pad that makes it softer on the ground.
Yours is like a really quality pad to that Therm-a-Rest thing.
It is. It's not thick, but it's comfortable to me. So I like it. It's the folding foam because I've had too many things deflate on me over time. Yeah, it was rough, though. Just like my mental process, because I thought, oh, well, the next thing I could do is like buy an emergency blanket, like one of those foil things, and then just wrap myself up in that. But that's going to probably be crinkly and noisy and not very comfortable at night.
I can just see your wife waking up hating you.
Yeah. And then the other thing I thought of was, why don't I buy like a pair of coveralls?
Okay.
A set. Is it they come in pairs, sets? You know, like coveralls that cover your, like, you know, it's like a coat and pants all
right.
in one.
Yeah. Right. Like a mechanic wears or something.
Yeah.
I think I would say a pair of coveralls.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like overalls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a pair.
Because I went to a farm store once we got up to Battleground and they had those, but they were like $90 a set.
Ooh,
and that was way
it.
Too much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to buy them once and just, you know, wear them to sleep in.
Maybe those just could be your permanent clothes.
I just wear it, yeah. From here on out, jumpsuits all the way.
Or you could just return them on the way back.
That's true. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I ended up doing was once we got up into Washington and we stopped in Battleground where we were doing our grocery run, I decided to run over to another store and buy a sleeping bag because there were a couple of options up there. So I went to the farm store, and that was where I thought I would find like some outdoor gear or whatnot. But it turns out, this is not a knock against Wilco farm stores, but they are exclusively farm stores.
They are farm stores.
They're not like like an Ace Hardware that has like an emergency or like a fishing aisle or something like that.
No, they have some clothing, but it's like farmer's clothing.
They had an excellent clothing section.
Yeah.
You know the way I dress. I wear almost exclusively Western wear,
except for
cowboy boots or hats. So, I'm not a cowboy on the top or the bottom, but in the middle. Very
That's
much
where
a cowboy.
It counts.
So that was kind of my first shot. It didn't work out. So I ran over to Fred Meyer. And it turns out the size, I'll post a link to the video that I recorded while I was running through the Fred Meyer parking lot.
It's on our Twitter.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Literally like a mile from the highway past like the drainage ditch and the chain link fencing and everything, past the Starbucks and the Jack in the Box and the Grease Monkey, like all these auxiliary businesses in the parking lot of the Fred Meyer. I was on foot. I didn't bring my bike along because everybody else was shopping. So I'd left it there. It had the Bob trailer. I didn't want to mess with it. Didn't want to worry about security. And so I just walked. I was like, how long can it take? And apparently it turns out in Battleground, Washington, at the nexus of two major highways, it can take a very long time to run from one to the other. I was running in rubber boots because the rubber boots are they're what I'm wearing now. And these ones actually turn out to be quite comfortable, but it takes a long time. Suburban scale is huge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of antithetical to human scale.
Right. Yeah. So I'm, I don't recommend, unless you have to, I don't recommend, like, you know, living in the suburbs. It's just not designed for people who want to live without a car.
Well, yeah, it's not designed for people. It's designed for cars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, all that put together, like I was a little bit tired from the week last week. I was discouraged because I had forgotten essential components of a fun camping experience. But it turned out that everything worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
And at the other end, I was really glad that I went. We had a great group of people. I don't know the thing at the end of an experience where you're like, oh, we all just shared this. Where like we all go out in the woods and camping with a group is essentially it's like you go out there and then you just like sit around and drink and talk, which is what we did. But we came out, I think, much better friends on the other side of it for the experience. So glad it happened.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I'm hell of jealous.
Yes. Well, you know what? We're going to have to do it sometime also.
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm in.
Where'd you
all
go anyway?
Battleground Lake State Park.
Okay.
Which is about 25 miles from Portland.
Oh, not bad.
More or less, yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
May I ask a personal question?
Please do.
So if you wouldn't have gotten the second sleeping bag or your sleeping bag, do you think your wife would have, you know, somehow just let you borrow hers kind of with her? I mean, I was just curious how that works.
Or like take it from her?
Well, I wouldn't take it from her.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't recommend that. But you know, you could, in theory, take a sleeping bag and kind of open it and use it like a blanket instead of a sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had talked about the possibility of that. But I don't know. I'm definitely a thrasher in my sleep and far more when I'm camping, I think. Like at that.
Not
bed at home.
Not just somebody who rolls around, but a thrasher.
I think
so. You describe yourself as a thrasher.
Yeah.
I want to like pause right there to get that mental image of just you flailing your arms about as you sleep.
I violently turn from side to side many times.
Snakes!
Exactly.
See, I just picture a skateboard, you know, Thrasher magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would that I were.
Shredding it up while you're sleeping.
I'd be much more cool that way.
I'm really cool in my sleep.
Bonus thing, the Glacier's Edge sleeping bag that I bought for $25, it turns out if you buy two of them, you can zip them together.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
Anybody out there that's short on means, it's not the best sleeping bag that's ever been designed, but it's not bad for a sleeping bag that is $25. So, yeah. I don't know. It was... I go both ways. Like, now we have an extra sleeping bag we can share with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But that thing is bulky. Like, nobody's business.
In the video of you carrying it, it was pretty sizable.
It was, like, keg-sized.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's, like, before it had ever been opened before. And then trying to get it back into that bag. It was legitimately, like, the size of a keg of beer. Barely closed up.
Yeah.
How did you pack it? Because you didn't have your panniers, right?
I did not. I had a bob trailer, which I was carrying other people's stuff
and
on.
And there was room for the sleepy bag there?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So we just kind of shoved it in there and bungee cabled it on.
Nice. Do you always carry other people's stuff? Because if you do, I might want to go bike camping with you pretty soon.
You should come on one with us someday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever that works out that way, that whenever someone is around that doesn't have their own gear or isn't used to carrying a lot of stuff, we bring the trailer so that we can kind of help out. So if people have like one piece that doesn't quite fit, we can carry it for them.
Oh, that's really sweet.
So, but that's the sort of thing. Like, that's the thing that would stand in the way of someone maybe going or not going.
Mm-hmm.
So, worked out okay. Also, I guess when we were up there, the campground was out of firewood. So, we had a friend whose bike actually fell apart when...
that freight train go by.
I can feel the freight train.
I literally feel that in my chest. Wow.
You know,
it's
funny because now that they're not blowing their horns, I think they sound louder.
They somehow
the engine
do,
sounds
don't
louder.
They?
Yeah.
Yeah, the quiet zone. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right here in TriMet's Orange Line zone. Yeah, as I've heard it called, in the heart of the milk packing district.
Right, because Dairy Gold right over there.
Yeah.
Where were we?
I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Oh,
bike
we're talking about trades. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Trailers.
Bob
moving
trailers.
Obstacles.
Obstacles to going out.
Did you have first-time campers on your trip?
We did, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So one person had never gone bike camping before. I think most of these people had gone camping at one point in their life. But one person had a bike that fell apart. Not fell apart, but like her shifter stopped working.
Oh.
And it was on her rear cassette, so she couldn't change gears anymore, basically. But fortuitously, we discovered this right next to the Gateway Max station, so she was able to take light rail home.
Oh.
And then she
picked
up.
It was on the way back.
It was on the way out.
Oh.
Yeah. So she almost missed the camping trip. But she went home, got her Prius, and drove out and secured a camp spot for us.
Oh,
and
that's
then
cool.
When it turned out that the place was out of firewood, she was able to go pick up firewood for us. Because otherwise
nice.
It would have been 10 people standing around in the cold and the dark.
No fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she brought firewood and beer.
Look at that. There's uses for cars after all.
Whoa,
that's it. Yeah.
That's great. The suburbs aren't so bad after all.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, if you've got the means to get around them.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, the other thing, I'll just put this in as kind of like an aside, but as we rolled up to Battleground Lake State Park, there was a guy in like a red Lycra kit, and I'm willing to overlook that, but he was standing out in the middle of a goddamn field with his penis in his hand, peeing onto the grass, like not trying to hide it, not sneaking off into the woods to like relieve himself. He's just out in the middle in broad goddamn fucking daylight. Made me angry.
So this wasn't like the foliage was not tall enough.
No, it had just been mowed.
Is he like facing the road?
He was just like, he was standing there with like no, he kind of was facing the road. The road curves around the park.
Right.
So people, use some discretion.
Cover your shame.
Use some discretion.
I think he wanted to be seen.
I think so.
I think so. He's wearing red. He's standing in the middle of a field. Come on.
Son of a bitch.
A lot of it does kind of say like, look at me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Made me angry.
Oh,
none of this which I expressed to him, which is now coming out.
Good, get it out.
So what would you have said to this guy? I don't know. I can't think of a name for him. We'll call him, I don't know, Fred?
Fred.
That's a good common
okay.
name.
No, I think what I just said is what I would have told him.
Yeah.
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 So
cover your shame, Fred.
Well, it was kind of a thing where like you don't expect to see a penis if you go out in the world. Like they're not readily available, right?
Speak for yourself.
I mean, maybe my experience is different than other people's experiences, but it's not a common thing. So,
well, I mean, you know, there's a difference between expectation and hope. You know?
I suppose you're right.
It's true.
Right. There's normative, and then there's like whatever someone's desired world might be.
X-ray eyes, guys.
Okay.
Women have it. I don't know if you knew that. We usually don't talk about it, but we do. So we see way more than you realize.
I thought so.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So, it explains your good fortune, right? Yes, that was a yes. Glad to see it.
So anyways, that happened too. So I think that's pretty much everything I had to say about the camping trip, other than like, maybe if like you're tired at the end of a long work week and you don't feel like doing something adventurous, maybe you should just do it. Because
yeah.
I wasn't sure I wanted to. I wasn't sure I didn't want to.
Was it that there was so many? Because there's people who haven't camped before. There's people you haven't camped with before.
Yeah, there's X factors.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, was that kind of your detracting factor?
Possibly. I think more it was just like my energy level was way down.
Yeah.
But hey, people have reserves.
Sometimes we have reserves that we don't even know we have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what happened to you this week?
Not a whole lot.
Okay. You drank non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Where did that go? It's not even...
I put it down. I can't...
Poured it into the carpet.
I might sample that, actually.
Please do.
You know, because I think it's going to go to waste otherwise, right?
Possibly.
I don't think it would go to waste.
You could cook with it. Do you ever do fish batter?
I feel like I have to now.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
I'll finish my water and put it in my water bottle.
Okay. There we
Perfect.
Go. Yeah.
I'm watching someone's cat tonight, and so I could do fish batter and just feed the cat.
Feed the cat. Hey, you like fish?
Hey.
There you go.
You like fish? I like fish.
Let's have fish together.
Let's be friends. I got nothing going on, Callie.
Perfect.
You and me. You and me. Actually, I have one big thing going on.
Nice.
Here, and that is me and my lady friend, Anna, are adopting a Pugsley.
Ooh.
A dog?
That is not a dog.
Oh.
A Pugsley.
A Pugsley.
What is a Pugsley?
Built by Surly. And, yeah, we're gonna, the frame is on order already, and just little by little, as time goes on, as we get the means.
You're going to build it up.
Yeah, we're going to get parts and build it up.
That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
That means you're going to have a bike that you can go out in the woods with.
Yeah.
You kind of already do,
well,
but you're going to have one that's
I certainly do.
Yeah.
You know, but her current bike it's a really super nice road bike. But it is a really super nice road bike.
Which means no, like, gravel.
It's been, there were times where I, like, have to readjust where I would normally ride.
Oh, okay.
To make sure, like, oh yeah, crap, this road has like a section of gravel. Well, I'm just talking here in the city.
I was going to say, we've talked about this because, like, close to where you live, there are a lot of unpaved streets.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
enjoy that experience.
Yes.
But that's
much.
Not quite designed for her bike.
No.
Or her bike,
or her
is,
bike
not quite
is not designed,
designed
for,
that. For
it. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess this has been a dream of hers for a long time to own a Pugsley. And I think fat bikes are amazing.
You're making it happen.
And so, yeah, we're going to do it.
What was the blog post from Surly? Something about Randy Newman.
Randy Newman is a jerk.
Yeah.
Because he's got this song called Short People Got No Reason to Live, which,
right.
by the way, is satire, and it's actually directed to a specific person who is a critic of his, anyways, who's also kind of short. But anyways, so still, fuck that song. I'm only 5'4".
Right, right. But
yes. So Surly posts with the title this blog post of, like, you know, Randy Newman is a jerk and we are building Pugsleys for, like, short people.
Right.
And so, and
which
I'm
is
a short
awesome.
Person and Anna's just slightly taller than me. So yeah, it's cool. We're really excited about this happening.
Do you anticipate that you will share well? Like, do you think one of you is going to use it more than the other one will, or do you think that?
So I'm reluctant to say.
Right, well, she's right listening. She's
air,
listening
right.
to this
because mm-hmm. she'll hear this later and, like,
true.
Come at me like a week or two later. So who's gonna have the bike?
About mm-hmm. what you said. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's just not make you say it.
Yeah.
We'll leave that to the speculation of everyone.
There you go.
Yeah. It's that's all hypothetical.
But,
it's like Schrodinger's cat.
Yep. There you go. Yes. Yes. The bike is both in my garage and her garage.
Until you open the garage.
Until either garage is open.
But that means you never get to ride it. That means this question has to be answered, but not here, not on the air.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just until one of us opens our garage.
But Schrodinger's cat is hypothetical, and so is this situation
yes.
in our listeners' minds.
Yes.
So go nuts, people. Just, you know. Speculate.
Speculate like
galore.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I was speculating that Pugsley was a tandem. So
I
was really curious how two people share a bike, because that's not something I've heard people talk about here in town.
No.
True.
Like, people share all kinds of things, but not usually bicycles.
Right.
That's a lot of, how long have you been together? You, like, trust each other? Because that's like a big, you know, that's like having a kid. Right? Isn't it just the same thing? I mean,
so,
you know.
So here's the thing is, I texted my family, who's not very, like, bikey people, and just left it pretty ambiguous. Like, Anna and I are adopting a Pugsley. What do you think? And, of course, like, they think dog. And
that'll be cute.
And I honestly was thinking they would start coming back at me, because we've been together, like, since November-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back at me with, like, ooh, it's too early, or, like, are you sure about this? And honestly, they were, like, all really supportive, which is cool, yeah. But it's not a dog, which might change the story. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn if I say, like, during or pre-recording.
I guess we'll find out.
The snack parade number two was bringing it up with them. And I won't name names, but one of them said, like, I would rather share a dog than share a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I trust both of you to make reasonable and good decisions about how this happens.
We've talked about it, and you know, we'll have enough adjustable parts to be able to both share without too much, you know, trouble.
Perfect.
And yeah, I mean, there's still ongoing conversations, of course, but honestly, I think a lot of those have to be ironed out once the bike is built and riding, and then you got to have the conflict of like, I think you've had more time with it than I have, or whatever.
But those will be cute problems.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Like in High Fidelity. Like,
I'm not,
we want to see different movies.
Right. Yeah, I'm not scared of that conflict at all.
Excellent.
I might be a little naive in that, but there it is.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, good luck, Anna. All right.
Wait, what? Anyways.
I was just talking to her.
Right.
Because she's listening. We know.
Yes.
Yeah. And hi, everybody else, too. Well, Aaron, do you want to talk about being, like, between jobs?
Oh, sure.
Because you said that you're taking some time off.
I am.
Some you time.
I am, yeah. It's something I've never done before, actually.
Nice.
At least I haven't done it by choice. Uh-huh. So this time is a little different. Yeah. I left my job in February, and it's now, what, April? Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, yeah. I don't even know what day it is anymore. It's kind of a strange time. But yeah, no, it's been good. But, you know, I think one of the biggest losses for me has been my bike commute.
Oh, right.
Actually, because I used to work up at OHSU, and I would ride up that hill.
That's a climb.
I love it.
Yeah.
I like climbing. So,
right.
So I've been visiting Mount Tabor more often. Went to Council Crest a couple weeks ago just for a little nostalgia.
Council Crest, is that the highest point in Portland? I want to say it is, but I'm not sure.
I've been told that, and I haven't done my own fact checking.
It's got a nice view from the top.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. It's good.
Well, and Aaron, you've got you and... Here we go again. Aaron,
uh-oh.
You and Aaron have this in common.
Are you pointing at people? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm bandying my
For
words
those of
about.
You listening, Brock has pointed at me.
And then he pointed
Flores,
at me, too.
And then he pointed at Aaron Kelly, our guest.
All the people with homonymic names in this room have this in common that, like, you kind of have to leave home in order to get your bicycle, like, because you either work out of home, Mr. Flores, or you don't work right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of exciting. Like, you just kind of choose your own adventure in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what I've been... Actually, that's fun that you say that, because I'm feeling like life is a whole choose your own adventure. And I don't know why that never occurred to me before. But I read those books when I was little. Oh, yeah, totally.
So fun.
And I would kind of cheat. I'd read through. I'd, like, pick my course.
Yeah.
And then I'd go back and I'd, like, you know, pick other things.
But you, like, hold the last decision point that seemed really meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you can go back and do the other one.
Yeah.
And why would they sell you the whole book if they didn't think you were going to do that, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you could share it with friends or something.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Just have a trusted friend that will only hand you the pages that you chose. Well, didn't work out so well for you.
Oh,
sorry.
That'd be great. Tear the books apart.
I'm going to read the rest of this myself.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't know about that.
But voluntarily taking time, like, that's kind of nice.
It is. And it's something, again, I haven't done that before. I also... You know, I've just been trying to figure out what I'm doing with my life, I guess, which maybe isn't the best way to word that. But I've definitely reached a point where I realized that I was spending my time in ways that weren't maximally meaningful for me. And it's been fun to be my own sort of anthropologist now, because I'm studying how I spend my time. What are the things that I like doing? Do I like having a schedule, or do I like just waking up whenever?
Right.
And I kind of keep going back and forth on that, actually. I haven't fully decided, but I'm looking for a little more routine at this point.
I was going to say, there are some pros to other people making your decisions for you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But then there's also the autopilot, and I'm not on autopilot right now. So it's kind of nice, because I'm not independently wealthy. I don't have a whole ton of money in the bank. And when I made the decision to quit, I actually hadn't thought it through as well as I would normally think through a decision like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a mortgage, you know, and...
So there's that.
There's that. But I have renters, too, so...
I was going to say, there's also Airbnb.
Exactly. I've been looking into that, or I will soon.
Or renters, which are like long-term Airbnb for people who aren't familiar with renters.
Right. Yeah, renting's kind of a newer concept here in Portland, but yeah. But it's fun because the weather, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but it's been really nice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, today, of course, has been a notable exception.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I have a little bit of a tan going. I've been riding my road bike a lot.
Oh, nice.
Which I rode on the President's Day.
Yeah, that's a really nice one.
Thank you. Yeah, my commuter was stolen just last week.
Oh, oh damn.
Yeah, during the full lunar eclipse.
Something's up.
Yeah,
it's a werewolf that stole your bike.
Well, and it was out near 82nd and Foster, so I
definitely
think,
werewolf.
Yeah, totally. Or a zombie. I know there's some zombies around too, and it was in the morning hours.
What are your hopes of getting this bike back?
Pretty slim.
Yeah,
you know.
Did you have the serial number written down?
No, and that's what's really funny. Yeah, get
sorry.
This. Yeah, well, it's my own fault, right, or my own problem.
I'm not going to say that to you now.
Okay, well, that's okay. Well, I just said it, so it's fine. But no, I locked it up to a hurricane fence, and unfortunately, I didn't lock it well enough.
Oh.
I locked it to like the fence part. But again, I was only, anyway, I wasn't expecting it to disappear in short order like it did.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it that they clipped the fence?
They did. Yeah. They did. Yeah. And so, but it's funny because I found the owner's manual for the bike because I've kept that. So that's some of the stuff I've been doing. Oh, during this time of unemployment, I've been getting rid of things.
Oh.
Yeah. And I've been going through my belongings that, I've had for over 20 years.
So downsizing.
A little bit of downsizing and also just decluttering and getting organized, frankly. And I've always had this fantasy that there's like one system, one way of organizing everything in life that
is
would
there?
Just...
What is it? Have you found it?
Well... I don't want to talk about it on the air.
Okay.
Actually, I think I have found it, but I need to test my hypothesis a little, on someone else first.
Yeah.
So.
This is proprietary. It's like, you don't want to share that stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to share it right here, right now. No.
Until you have it copyrighted.
But offline we can talk about it.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Yeah, totally up for that. But it's been fun. But I found the owner's manual. Right. So and I bought this bike in 1995 and I've been riding it ever since. And I've used it for everything. I've used it for bike camping.
Nice.
I've used it for Cycle Oregon. I've done that a few times.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mountain bike, but I had flat or commuter tires.
Like
and stuff
slicks on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
So it was great. But the fit was wrong, actually.
Oh.
And so the fact that it was stolen is not entirely disappointing to me because it's now pushing me to get another bicycle.
Yeah, it's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Wherever there is friction, there is traction.
Ooh, wow.
I read that. I read that in a futurist book one time back in the day.
Can I have one of those beers?
Yes, please do.
Thanks, I might need that now.
Please do.
Woo, yeah. But no, it's been fun. But not having a commute has been weird. Mm-hmm. And riding my road bike has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been riding around with, just for joy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have an idea? I mean, obviously, you're going to need to apply for a job at some point when you decide what you want to do. But do you have a limit on how long you're going to be unemployed? What else would you call it? Like...
Yeah, I mean, I am unemployed.
On sabbatical?
Do you have a time frame?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are so many variables, so many moving parts that it's kind of hard to figure out what I should do. But, in the traditional hiring world, they always say if you have a 3-month gap on your resume, you have to explain it. Or if it's 3 months or more, you want to be ready to explain it. So I'm trying to piece together my story. And I don't, it's not been 3 months yet.
Yeah.
But I may end up there. So,
right.
So we'll see. And I'll have to figure out how exactly I want to craft it.
You got to start a blog.
I have. I have one. I need to actually write some articles, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm working on that.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I'm actually looking at working for myself in a variety of ways.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I have actually had someone read my blog and ask me to edit one of my articles for inclusion in a book. So I'm looking into that. I've also been sort of exploring some of my hobbies and just trying to figure out if I can piece together my own work and work for myself just because I would like to do that.
Yeah.
But I think honestly, I feel this need to look for things a little bit aggressively in the next month or so just to kind of keep my name out there, get on lists here and there for jobs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am, and I'm getting unemployment.
There we go.
Actually, so I have been looking for work, and I was really pleased and surprised to get that, even though I quit.
Yeah.
So that was a nice find.
That's very fortunate.
These are all interesting things for people who might be considering, like, I feel a little bit stifled, or I feel like I'm barking
up
the wrong.
I want to get out of my job, but I don't feel like I can get out of my job. Or
right.
To that effect.
Well, there is this kind of decluttering thing you'd mentioned. That wasn't the term that you used earlier, but, you know, getting rid of stuff, it's, you know, there's the psychological stuff, there's the emotional stuff, there's the how we spend our time.
Yeah.
I mean, that really, it's the big thing. And when I look at how I spend my time now, I'm doing things that are actually kind of fun and some things that I could get paid for.
Sure.
Potentially.
Yeah.
And my job, while there was nothing wrong with it, it wasn't really feeding me.
Ah.
And I kind of, I mean, it was literally feeding me, but
right.
money that I could use to buy food.
You got some bread from
yeah.
your job.
Exactly. There you go. I was winning bread. But yeah. So we'll see. Whatever I go with next, it could be something that pays well and aligns with my values, or it could be something that doesn't pay quite as well and aligns even better with my values.
Sure.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I'm curious. I just had this thought just now, but like, I feel like a lot of us probably have more stuff than we want to because we don't have time due to our jobs to go through the stuff that we brought home.
Totally. Well, and partly though, I don't know if we need the extra time. This is something I've been sort of playing with lately.
Ooh, this is the proprietary information.
Well, not necessarily. But there is this concept. You know, I have often looked at life like, okay, well, once I get this thing figured out, then I'm done. Right? Like, I have my system for knowing how my life is going to be organized. Now I've figured it out. Now I don't have to worry about that anymore. Well, no, life is really about maintenance, I think. And maintenance is not sexy. It's not fun. We don't like to think about it, and then we forget about it sometimes. And so I think that a regular sort of assessment of our stuff could really... It would be beneficial for us, just like cleaning the toilet every so often.
Yeah.
You know, or cleaning the sinks or whatever.
Because you know who's sexy? People that have been maintained.
Ooh. It's true.
You
know? It's true. Yeah.
And yeah, nobody wants to do the maintaining.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's ongoing effort and there aren't always clear results. You know,
right.
You can't see the difference necessarily. But I think I'm hoping that when I'm 70, 80 years old, whatever, that something will be evident about how wonderful of a life I've had.
Right.
There
right.
we go. Perfect.
I did it all.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
On finding this space, and
thank
good
you.
Luck negotiating the space.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to be like Icarus's dad. I can never remember his Daedalus? What
did Daedalus do?
Well, he
made the wings, right?
Yeah, and he knew that he needed to moderate his location. So he couldn't go too high, couldn't go too low. And his son, of course, is the one that's famous for some reason. Because he went too high, melted his wings. You know, we all know the story.
Hubris.
That was his Achilles heel.
Hubris.
Achilles wing?
Yeah.
We should start a new thing. I want to start a band, and I'm going to call it Achilles wing.
Achilles wing. Precisely.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll credit you for that, too.
Oh, no, yeah, that one's free.
Oh,
yeah. Unless you get super famous, then I just want to be like somewhere in the liner notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done.
All right. Well, all right. Should we do some headlines? Time for news?
Yeah, I guess.
If we have to.
Do you start with the good news or the bad news?
That's a good question.
Because I know there's at least some positive here.
I put the good news on the end this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll leave it up to you to pace us through the bad news.
Let me be your guide through the darkness.
All right, I'm gonna crack this.
Oh, do it next to the mic.
Thing, yeah. Hold on, and we can credit beer mongers for this.
Oh yeah.
Hold on. Oh yeah.
Oh, there it was.
There we go.
Perfect. Yeah.
Thanks
guys.
Beer mongers.
It was quite the pop on that one.
That was. I thought that was the sound that reminded me of the opener snapping off of the can.
Oh yeah.
So I thought we had a crisis on our hands. But we don't. We're okay.
No, all good.
Okay. Headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as you can into the morning light.
All right, so first up. Man issues citizen citation after police decline to investigate red light collision. This comes to us from bikeportland.org. So the story goes, man is at an intersection on his bicycle, goes to ride through said intersection, and gets right hooked by a cube truck.
Oof.
According to Cedar Knoll, a food courier for the local company Soup Cycle, the man drove his truck at high speed through what would have been a well-established red light at the intersection of Northeast Deakin and MLK. Knowles said the driver only stopped the truck and returned to the scene after a witness drove after him and flagged him down. So isn't that a hit and run?
Hmm.
Yes?
I would think so.
Yep.
Technically. Police officer who came to the site told Knowles, and accurately told Knowles, that it is against Portland Police Bureau policy to investigate the incident or issue an officer-initiated citation because Knowles didn't need to leave the scene in an ambulance.
Ah. So law broken. So, head not broken.
Head not broken. Law technically broken, but not actually. Well, yeah, not by practice anyways.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, because it's the police's practice or policy not to investigate and issue citations. That said, you're on your own, bikers.
Good to know.
Yeah. In the meantime, Knowles went through the process of issuing a citizen citation, which is outlined in this article that we'll have linked. If the case advances, Knowles will need to appear in court to identify the driver and say what happened. Quote, Knowles, I don't think that people will do this very often. Knowles' boss, Supercycle owner Nate Schlechter. Sorry about that.
Whom we haven't met because we talked to Jed back when Jed owned the company.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Now it's Nate.
Now it's Nate.
Yeah.
Well, Nate needs to come in now.
That's right.
Said the Portland police policy not to investigate traffic collisions that don't involve major injury has him worried about Portland's long-term ability to understand issues like this one.
Mm-hmm.
And that will segue us into our next article, also from bikeportland.org. Thank you. Petition launched to strip Portland of its platinum bike-friendly status.
Strip Portland of its status?
Yes.
Strippers.
It wouldn't be the first time, yeah.
Yes. Platinum being the highest ranking possible for the League of American Bicyclists.
Ah, yes.
Their widely respected program that judges cities with a combination of technical analysis, local expert interviews, and application process. Portland is the only large city to reach this status. The other cities are Fort Collins and Boulder in Colorado and Davis, California.
They're saying the other ones are not large cities.
Not large cities.
Okay.
No.
So Portland has achieved, because I remember that Fort Collins had like either had just achieved platinum when I got there or they were like really close to it.
Okay.
So yeah.
And yeah, Fort Collins, I know it's got a pretty good reputation nowadays.
And they're a cool city.
Yeah.
Good on you, Fort Collins. Yeah.
Right on. And Boulder. Two in one state.
Yeah, Boulder.
Not so fun. 31-year-old Portland resident Will Vanloo has launched a petition on change.org to encourage the league to downgrade our status. Vanloo told Bike Portland via phone, that he is fed up with the lack of progress being made to improve access for bicycles in Portland, and he hopes his effort will light a fire under the Portland policymakers, elected leaders, and advocates.
That's a really interesting strategy. It's like, we're not trying to look like the best because we aren't.
Well, yeah. And I think we've been resting on our laurels a little too much.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the changes that were made, you know, 5-10 years ago were great changes 5 or 10 years ago, but the city has changed a lot in the last 5 years that I've been here.
And none of those changes have been particularly good for people without cars.
No. Well, I mean, yeah, just the population has changed, the geography has changed, the infrastructure doesn't seem to have changed to catch up with population and geography.
Right. And a lot of people like move into town and bring their cars with them.
Right.
Again, not a huge problem, but if you drive them everywhere.
Yeah. And
get used to traffic.
Yeah. In this article, actually, there's a really good outline of different subjects that Will would like Portland to concentrate on. And one of them is like education and awareness, like educate drivers. What roads are good to drive on? What roads are not good to drive on?
Right.
And how to drive with people who are not also in cars sharing that road.
Yeah. And also, where can bicycles be? Answer, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Except for the I-5 freeway and 205 freeways. But who wants to? Aside from that, bikes everywhere. Get bikes, used to it.
Yes.
Except sidewalks.
Where'd you come from? Not here?
Oh, yeah.
This is
not
how we
sidewalks.
Do it here.
Not
yeah.
sidewalks. Either.
Not sidewalks downtown.
Right. So lastly, little piece of positive here.
Oh, good.
From,
hang on.
I've been waiting for this. I was waiting for that, actually.
Wait, let's do that one again. There you go. From humantransit.org, San Francisco, a world-class transit map unveiled. A few years ago, we at humantransit.org assisted San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency in rethinking how they talk about the various services they operate. Our key idea was to classify services by tiers of frequency, while also distinguishing at the highest frequency only between faster and slower services. In extensive workshops with staff, we helped the agency think through these things, categories, and names to be used for them. The biggest news is that the new network map by Jay Primus and David Wiggins is about to debut. All you need to know is that bigger, brighter lines are more useful lines because they tend to be faster and more frequent. So he goes on to brag about this map and how well thought out and well designed this map is.
Like, yeah.
It's intuitive. You look at it and you know which lines will be more frequent in service because of the way they're colored.
There's some psychology in this.
Yes, there's nice. A lot of psychology in this. In other words, this works just like any coherent street or map, paper or online, in which the faster roads are more visually prominent.
Hmm.
Any good map is legible at multiple levels of attention, including very zoomed out like this. And so he's got like kind of a low res map posted on his site here.
Okay.
And in loving detail left and right, you can also admire if you zoom into the massive PDF, which I
yes,
have included.
Massive PDF.
Yeah. Did you just try to open it?
Not yet. No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think my machine is strong
enough
to
open it. I tried to open it on this machine and it sat for a while and like I eventually gave up.
Well, the funny thing about PDF design is that if it is a sufficiently large document, like your computer will just sit there drawing lines and redrawing lines for a long time.
Right. Right.
So,
and you're just stuck with it.
Right. But you get all that detail, and you can print that out into as many 8x10 pages as it takes.
That's true.
Wait, 8.5x11?
8.5x11, yeah.
Oh, okay. Or 8x10.
11x17? I mean, right. You could go big if you want.
There's printer margins.
That's true.
You can't do the whole 8.5.
Well, right. Whatever. Just subtract 0.34 inches from each set. Come on.
Unless
close
you're...
enough. Close enough. Who cares about that detail?
Unless you happen to be...
Printers do. Printers do.
What about a resource center for independent publishers?
They
I bet
would
they
care.
Have a big...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wonder
yeah,
where one of those is.
Printer. Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well... Mystery
if,
for the
if
same
only,
time.
If only we knew.
Hmm. Seriously.
Hey, are you going to put a link to that map?
Oh,
indeed
hell yeah.
We will.
Hell yeah.
Oh, cool. I want to check it out.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to do it on some other computer because
well,
this one.
Don't do it on this.
What gets me, though, is PDF. You know, the P stands for portable.
Oh, portable document format.
It sounds like that one's not very portable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's different levels of portability.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're like your sleeping bag, actually.
True.
I mean, you know, it was bulky.
Technically portable.
Right.
Do you have a thumb drive?
That's a really personal question.
Excuse me.
I actually have multiple thumb drives. I
okay.
usually talk about it in public, though.
Well,
jeez, yes, I do.
Okay.
Not on me.
It's out there now.
I leave it at home.
Okay, easy enough. I was going to say maybe that's how the documents
get hot
are
in here. All
portable. It really did. You know what it's time for?
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Good segue.
Thanks.
And thank you to Sebastian for his generous donation
yeah.
and for sending in a book about Ed Ricketts.
This is a thank you that's like 3 weeks late because I think we got the package sometime back and
oh,
then
yeah.
we got really busy, so I forgot to add it to the show notes. But, Sebastian, thank you so much.
I think maybe... did we mention the book? No.
I don't think
maybe
so.
We didn't, actually.
Anyways, thank you. Because, Ed Ricketts was the guy that the Doc character in Seinfeld... Steinbeck. Steinbeck's Cannery Row. The Doc character is based on Ed Ricketts. So, anyways.
What is the deal with canneries?
What is
Why
the
are they in a row?
With marine biology. Yeah.
Why do we have to go east of Eden?
It is hot in here, guys.
Oh, man. What's the have you guys seen the Twitter handle that's Modern Seinfeld?
No.
There's this awesome Twitter handle where they do like a Twitter-sized basically a show pitch. So like every couple weeks they come out with like a new thing where like George is like trying to figure out how to use Tinder or something like that. And they're all fantastic. They're all great. So I recommend it. Just look it up on Twitter. It's Modern Seinfeld.
Thank you. Yeah. Will do.
Hey, we got another thank you.
What else
to,
we got?
New donors, Mark Lowe.
Oh, yeah.
Rich Otterstrom and Andrew Alderson.
Yeah, I think that's Marco.
Wow.
Marco is the first
Marco,
one.
Marco, yeah. I did just say Mark.
But thank you all. Yes, this is awesome. And the cool thing is that these are all people that are helping us do cooler and bigger and better things in the future. So at some point, we'll
hire the actual bassist from Seinfeld.
That's right. I think that would be the best use of donations.
Wouldn't it, though?
I think that's what the public wants. Yes. Drew the Welder reminds us that DeRond PDX is coming next weekend. And Aaron, are you familiar with this?
Wait, is this the one where they go up all those steep hills
all
in
those
the West
fucking
Hills? I want to do this. I should totally do it on my road bike.
You are
you
lucky.
Should.
Whoa.
Because
yeah.
Next Saturday is DeRond. And once you hurt yourself on your bike, you can go watch people hurt themselves on their bikes at that film premiere. They're both happening
yeah.
the same day.
Holy shit.
So,
right, yeah.
First of all, go ride your bike and then watch somebody else ride their bike. And then you won't feel bad for watching someone ride their bike and do amazing things on screen because you already did something amazing earlier that day. Drew says, it is known mostly to be a ride for fit racers, but there has always been a small group of tourers and commuters. The 50-mile, 8K elevation, long and leg-busting ride is within the reach of a fit commuter who knows how to pace themselves on hills and eat/drink at reasonable intervals.
I would say you don't even necessarily have to be a fit commuter. You can be a half-ass commuter.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
what
still make a pretty good go of it.
Yeah,
see, I would have finished it if it wasn't for my brakes locking up.
I was going to say you would have finished it if you hadn't gotten lost, right? Because it wasn't that the thing. It's like
so
the routers
my brakes
really
locked
secure
up.
Us.
Yeah, my brakes locked up. I took the time to fix them, and then took off trying to catch everybody.
Oh, okay.
And missed a turn.
Right.
And then ended up downtown and was like, "Well, fuck it, I'm going home now."
As
I
understand,
was a good 2/3 finished. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you'll do it this year.
No, because I'm working.
Oh, okay.
Aww.
That's a decent excuse.
But I keep meaning to come back to it. The problem is they announce this, with such little lead time because, it's like Portland's biggest, non-sanctioned ride. And so,
yeah, it's not really like an organized ride. Someone just said, hey, this is a route that you could do.
Right. And anyone can do that. Like it is marked on the roads.
Yeah.
You could do this anytime you wanted to.
Little lion
I
symbols.
I could do this anytime I wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like projecting this on other people.
why don't you do it next week?
Why don't I do it next week?
Next
why don't
day
I do
off.
It
why
like
do it
next
tomorrow?
Monday? Why don't I do it tomorrow?
I could go with you. I have the day off too.
There you go.
Yeah, totally.
Lucky you, Aaron Kelly.
Yeah, hey, it's a choice we can all
surprising
make.
Surprising that your schedule's lined up.
Right.
I wouldn't have expected that.
Isn't it
that's
amazing?
Good.
It's great.
DeRond, or no, sorry.
Rond.
RONDEPDX.com. Yeah, so if you hear this tomorrow and you want to go Saturday, it's there. Next up,
Johnny K found Bluetooth cycling communication kits, one from Cardo and another cheaper option. Also, he makes this comment. Use the fence pedal. Don't use that wheel taco maker.
And I'm trying to figure out what that refers to.
I don't know.
It's something that we talked about recently.
Use
but
the
I,
fence.
Yeah.
Pedal one.
I assume he's referencing the famous film Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah, the Force.
Yes.
Yeah. Force.
Having to do with locking up, I believe. Didn't we talk about locking up?
Don't lock it up to the chain link part. Lock it up to the post part.
Okay.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
To all you people out there, whoever lock up to fences.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a wheel taco maker, which, what would that be?
I don't know.
Is that the
Johnny
fence?
Johnny K, help us out here.
Is it like a George Foreman grill kind of thing?
You're our only hope.
Aw.
I like you made the hand symbol for the hologram, like going back into the thing.
No, this was my George Foreman grill.
Oh, never mind. Okay. Oh, there we go. They look so
similar.
Which,
by the way, we've got a George Foreman. I use it for making waffles.
Ooh.
How is that?
So it's got this mechanism where it tilts to level.
Uh-huh.
This is the like the newer style.
Ooh.
You know, and then you can replace the grill with like actual like waffle irons.
Oh, nice. Hmm. Yeah. Oh, wait. So it's not just like, because I was going to say they're going to be like, they're going to look like little pool floats or something.
Right? Just these lines.
But, yeah. But it's an actual waffle grid.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You can replace the whatever. The grills on them.
Wow. Uh-huh. That's awesome. And then there's a mechanism to raise it up.
Yeah. So it makes it level. Yeah.
So you don't have to use 3 Yanni CDs anymore.
No.
Okay. That's the only reason I keep those around.
I guess
around.
I'm going to have to listen to Yanni now.
Maren Sauter sends us the article about the Amtrak Cascades Line's uncertain future.
No!
Funding is drying up.
Oh, you mean she didn't send an article about vegan food on the train?
Well, she
did.
Yeah,
last week. Oh, yeah. I didn't listen. I'm so sorry.
See, that's what you get.
I'm sorry. Oh.
I kid. No, it's she updated us about the vegan petition, and it went through, and they're making some changes, which
Yay.
Is awesome.
It is.
But now the Cascades line apparently is, I want to say
really?
It's up to the Oregon Department of Transportation.
That sounds right. They have a rail division.
They don't want to pony up enough money to keep the line going. And
how
so there's...
How much? You'll
do it?
I'll help out.
We'll pony up, right?
All right.
Yeah. Come on. We can do this, people.
Right. But the thing is that Washington State, and this is a little inside baseball for anybody who doesn't live in the Northwest, but indulge us for just a minute.
Wait.
It's not like the rest of the podcast isn't about.
I can't wait till the other shoe drops here.
No, it's just that Washington State, I think, has poured a ton of money into their responsibility for the rail line.
Okay.
So, like, Washington State could have a rail line, like train service could exist there. However, the whole Cascades line is cooperatively funded through Oregon State, Washington State, and I believe British Columbia because it goes into Vancouver as well.
Yeah.
So,
although doesn't it go by bus up to that point?
There are buses that go that way. And that, I think, is probably what would happen. Like if the train stopped running, there would still be service. In fact, there already is like private carrier, like Bolt Bus is running.
Yeah.
It's cheaper to the end user, to get to Seattle faster using Bolt Bus than it is using Amtrak.
Right.
I don't like that because I like Amtrak and I would like them to be more affordable and to work better. But
Well, what about high speed rail? You know, if we could get high speed rail in lieu of the Cascades, like that'd be okay. But I think we'd need dedicated right of way, and I'm sure no one could afford that.
We need a lot for high speed rail.
Yeah.
Well, and if we can't afford to keep the Cascades line running, we're probably not going to trade up for high speed rail.
You never know. Sometimes there's really perverse incentives, you know, from the feds and all that. Like there might be a way. Maybe it's more probable for some reason.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, and it's the funny thing about how isn't it like technically. Amtrak, I'm trying to remember their other name. It's like the North American Passenger Rail Corporation or something like that. And they are technically a private entity that receives a lot of government subsidy.
That's subsidized by the government, yes.
So if somebody, like say Elon Musk, got tired of talking about vacuum tubes for a minute and wanted to actually run like a traditional train service or anybody else, like, I mean, the possibility would be there. They would just have to have the resources and the motivation to do it, I guess. But it's a good question. Like, if Amtrak didn't serve this region as well as it does, like, the Coast Starlight's still going to be here, so you can still ride that train once a day up and down the Western Seaboard. But maybe somebody else would do it better. Who knows? I don't.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Definitely. Well, and then this connects to kind of the big question with bus rapid transit, because there's a lot of transit people that like kind of, it's a hotly contested issue. Some people want more light rail. Some people want bus rapid transit. And the thing about bus rapid transit and the thing about long distance intercity motor coaches is that they can drive other places. Like if there's a problem where they're trying to go, they have wheels and those wheels turn and they have steering wheels. And so they can go.
They can go the block over.
Right. Yeah. Right. Whereas if a cow dies on the rail, like that's it.
Yep.
You know,
or if there's a freight train blocking
or if there's a freight train. Yeah. So I like rail better. Rail, from everything I understand, is more efficient, but there are a lot of things to like about buses as well, motor coach service. So I don't have the answers.
Well, we don't have BRT really anywhere here in the Northwest that I know of.
Eugene
has BRT?
Yeah,
really?
They have the EMX line.
Oh.
They have dedicated little lanes for it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna admit my ignorance here. I have no idea what those acronyms mean.
Oh, BRT is Bus Rapid Transit.
Oh,
so that was
yes.
Sorry. Oh. Sorry. That was that. But EMX, who knows when that's Eugene.
Eugene Metro X.
X.
Yikes. I thought they were like an early 90s band or something.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, that's there. Thanks, Maren, for the link.
Oh, right. Wait, is there a call to action there? Hold on, because I mean, I like taking the train. Well, yeah, I mean, don't we want to save Cascades if we can? I mean, if people use it.
Yeah, use the train.
Yeah, let's take the train. I think that's at least one course of action.
Seriously.
And that's an option. Yeah.
Yeah.
Call your local ODOT representative. I don't
sure.
know if they have representatives.
Well, there's, we live in Region 1, but you can call, whoever, ODOT, I'm sure.
Yeah, get involved in your public process.
There you go.
Talk to the people that make the decisions. Let them know that you care.
Yes.
There is, in fact, a link to, not a petition, but I think a way to write your congressperson easily. If you want to do that.
Yes.
And I think you should. Go out and write your politician.
That's what we should do. Contact our representatives in Congress and
yeah,
Senate
seriously.
And stuff. Yeah.
Sorry, I stopped that too early.
No,
I apologize.
Sorry. No, it's perfect.
Okay. All right.
Next up, Jason asks about how to find cities with good public transit services.
Go to Bart's district, apparently.
Looking for some resource that looks at what towns and cities have good mass transit. Whether it be bus or train or whatever. While I've seen such tools for seeing what towns have good bike lanes and the like, there doesn't seem to be much on the mass transit front. And of course, no town lists their extensive and frequent bus routes on the tourism brochure.
Maybe they should.
Maybe they should.
See, that's where I'm going to say.
I'm surprised PDX does not.
Do you work in the tourism industry? Tell people where your buses run. Come on.
But why is he asking? That's what I'm really curious. Is he going to make a decision on where he moves or something based on transit? Or is this for a vacation?
Or where he vacations, maybe.
Yeah.
Do we know?
Maybe he's asking for a friend.
Oh, of course.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, I know.
No, but...
I'm asking for...
all of my questions are always for friends, never for me. Never, right. ever.
No, I like the idea. The reason I share the whole question in full that he sent us is because I really don't know. I have heard stories about different places that are cool to get around with by transit, but I don't know, how to evaluate, if there's a place that lists them, if there's
Well, and how do you even evaluate the quality of it? And, who is it for? Because a commuter's use of transit is very different than someone who doesn't own a car and is, poor.
Oh,
right.
Right.
Sorry,
right.
Poor isn't the right word here, but
economically disadvantaged.
There you go. Yes, exactly. So,
yeah.
I mean, and there's a lot of challenges. And if someone's not an, native English speaker, how easy is it to use the system, regardless of language spoken and all of that?
Yeah.
And
maybe how much people care about, how accepted it is as a mode. Maybe the system is great, but nobody likes it. It's like societally unpopular. I could imagine that happening in Texas. Maybe Dallas or whatever. I don't think Dallas has the best transit system, but I think it's just it's not a thing that people do there.
Right.
I'm going to say Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Because TriMet does a decent job.
I was going to say that's one of the things when I moved here that people really kind of talked up.
Right.
A lot,
right.
Yeah.
We don't have any night buses, though. That'll always be my complaint with TriMet.
True.
So, yeah. So, for people who are bar hopping and all that, they can't really rely on transit, which is unfortunate. And so, then the taxis get all, busy.
Yeah. Does New York City Metro run around the clock?
I don't know. I mean, my experience has been international. So, I'm used to living in cities, even small cities, in places where people just don't normally use cars.
True.
And so, they'll have at least once an hour have a bus come by. In the wee hours.
Yeah. I got to apologize to all of our New Zealand listeners, too. That's the thing. I'm just assuming that people want to talk about North America for, time on end.
Well, we're in different, hemispheres.
We are, yeah. But, there are people all over the world.
Well, let me throw Auckland's hat into the ring and say that they have a good transit system. They
nice.
Have a, I really don't know, actually.
Okay.
You're just making it up? Is that what's happening here?
It's just a city in New Zealand that I know.
So where can you go? Where can you go to find out about good mass transit? Not the Sprocket podcast, apparently.
Yeah,
no.
Sorry.
But let's put the question out there. If you know of a great resource that helps to compare and contrast the transit options that people use, get in touch with us because that would be cool to know.
Maybe this is a business opportunity for me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to start some weird sort of bus transit resource app.
Yeah.
Thing.
Just
yeah.
figure out, yeah, like figure out what your rubric
what
is on how
criteria?
To how,
yeah.
to,
yeah,
how
yeah.
to evaluate and then go to these cities and evaluate them.
Maybe you'll send me that guy's contact info.
I will.
All right, cool.
All right.
Perfect.
And everyone else, send your contact info to us. Then we'll send out a big email with everyone copied on it.
I actually want it. I'm going to use it, but not for any. It'll all be for good, not for evil.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Lastly, Scott Morgan.
Yes, Scott McAllister Morgan, one of our regular donors, has sent us in a series of pictures of My Bike Won't Fit Here.
My bike won't fit
here. Oh, that's
here.
Awesome. Can I just say, I know you're going to talk about it.
What was that?
But years ago, one of the first things I learned when I was an early, young advocate for bicycling and pedestrian stuff, I learned that a ribbon rack should always be located at least 3 feet away from a wall.
It's one of those squiggly ones where they expect nine bikes.
Exactly, the squiggly one. Yeah, because otherwise you can't fit the bike in there. There's nothing you can actually lock to. It just doesn't work. And I see those all over town, and it's terrible. I don't know what's going on. The city knows what they're doing,
right?
But I think it's the private businesses that are trying to do good that don't know what they're doing.
I often wonder if, I'm pretty sure that the way it goes down is like, well, we need to put a bike rack in here. Okay, that looks like a good spot. And aesthetically, yeah, that does look like a good spot. But as far as usefulness, that is a terrible spot.
I've
often wondered, it's out of the way. It doesn't get in, it doesn't break up the flow of the walkway there.
Bike rack should be seen and not heard.
right, exactly. But you can't fit anything there. Does anybody actually put a bike up to the
maybe a mini bike, a kid's bike would fit.
Like a Zubon,
bike. Totally.
There you go. See, you're just riding the wrong bike, Scott.
That's the problem.
Get your 16-inch pit bike out. And
my next bike is going to be a mini bike.
Ooh.
Thank you guys for helping me figure this out.
This is a good idea.
I'm very happy. It'll fit anywhere.
Seriously. Yeah.
So what did he have to say anyway?
He just said, my bike won't fit
my
here.
My bike won't fit here.
Yeah.
Oh, so is he going to do anything about it? Sorry, I'm all about action today. Come on. What are you going to do about this, man?
Good
come on.
Question.
What are you
going to
do?
Say.
Scott, right into whoever owns this building.
Tell them their facilities suck. All right.
Yeah, I imagine he probably tagged them on this. I mean, this was shared via Twitter which is pretty public.
We're not looking at the original tweet, so I can't remember exactly what was said. But there was that. It did not fit there. Yes. Yeah. The other thing is that there is a big misperception about how people lock bikes. Because anyone who had a bike back in the 70s or the 60s, when was it? Was it
you could just lock the wheel because it was bolted onto the
wheel.
Oh,
that was the taco wheel maker thing.
Oh.
Yeah, because if you lock just the wheel, then you can taco the wheel, and that's not good. Those old racks, you had to shove the front tire in, right?
All makes sense now.
Yeah, those ones that are mounted to the ground that you still see occasionally.
Every once in a while, yeah. The post office at 7th and Taylor took theirs out, though. They just put in a bunch of staples and took out the old style one, and I was really happy.
It's the first thing the post office has done well in a long time.
Oh, speaking of a not federal...
That's right.
True. They're not actually part of the government, just like that other group.
Private company.
Right.
Yeah.
They're a government-sponsored monopoly.
Yep.
You can tell I love them. And that's why we're sponsored by Stamps.com.
Go to Stamps.com/WTF.
No, you know what the funny thing is about all the ads that I hear for Stamps.com is that they're always leveraging the unpopularity of the post office
in
their favor.
Easy.
Well, yeah, but Stamps.com
is owned by the postal service.
God, really?
Yeah. They're just saying, look what a terrible job we do. Wouldn't you like to use this new method we have? But they don't say it that way.
Wouldn't you like to use our other job that
we
do?
Right. So anyways, aren't you glad we have a monopoly on delivery? Yeah. So with all that, that's probably a good place for us to wrap up, huh?
Hooray for monopolies.
Yeah, seriously.
Which is a game to lose friends by.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And with that.
okay. So now that as long as we're doing tangential things.
Sure. Why not?
Monopoly?
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of people don't understand the rules, which is why it takes so damn long.
Really?
Oh. Yep. I will not explain that. I will just say, look at is it Livewire Radio had someone. They did a Monopoly feature in the last couple of episodes.
And it's actually a much shorter game than what most people
because no one understands the rules. Because
The rules are like a friggin' book, man.
Well, get a dictionary.
Or speed read or something.
I'm surly today. Sorry.
It's for ages 7 up, not ages banker and up.
True.
Yeah. That's
get your shit together, Parker.
That's
Brothers.
Right. All right. On that surly note, we leave you all. Have a good week. We sure will.
Go to hell, Parker Brothers.
All right, then.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com. Email us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call or text 2503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katrina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan, Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lee, and Richard Wadzinski, Tim Mooney,
Orange Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Wise, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott Michelle, Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Knows,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christine Kaster,
Caleb Jenkins, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
and new donors Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson, and Drew the Welder for fixing my bike.
Holy shit. Thank all you right. all.
Woo-hoo.
Brush your teeth.
Go to bed. Excellent.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
I should sit up straight, right? Isn't that better sound quality?
Good posture lends to good podcasting.
Okay, cool.
That's an aphorism. Right?
It's not a euphemism anyway.
No. And also there's that door that goes to the upstairs.
And it opens and closes all the time.
Right. And it's got a spring hinge.
Mm-hmm.
And that spring is super tight.
Yeah.
So that whenever that door comes closed, it's like someone slamming the door. I remember the first month or so I was here, I thought people were just pissed at the IPRC all the time.
I've had it with zines. Wham! Because he changed clothes in this space. Is that too much? Should I stop now?
How much have you had to drink?
Nothing. See, this is my nerves driving all this.
It was a long day, right?
It was a long day. Yeah. It was those 9 hours of driving.
That's what happens when I sit and talk to no one for 9 hours.
Oh.
It all comes pouring out as soon as I have an outlet.
Uh-oh, I need to be careful. I haven't been in an office for a while, so that...
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how much tumbles out tonight.
You are listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.